It's time to get a little less serious about wrestling. This is the Alternate Commentary Table with lifelong friends.
Notice your difference in size.
And lifelong wrestling fans.
Each is a very capable performer, and each is a little too clever to give the other boy much of an advantage.
Mitch Hontzius
credits himself with a lot of power.
And Dimitri Karolis
said that he got all that power from drinking raw olive oil all through his youth.
You don't think I'm going to do it?
No,
you don't think that
it.
I can press play whenever I want when, ladies and gentlemen, that is in town. That is come home.
You know how tempted I am to edit these things out every start of the show?
No!
Don't do it. What are you talking about?
No!
This is the best part of the show.
This is the show.
Am I going to start it? It's starting.
It's like the dare to each other.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? But let me tell you what we are starting. We're starting the Alternate Commentary Table right here on the McGuire on Wrestling podcast feed, where you can listen to our show. You get to listen to Mike's show. You get to listen to Andy's show. Anywhere where you're streaming your podcast. We don't care. It's at your discretion. You do what you got to do. But what you also got to do is you got to join the Team MOW, because there's just a lot of fun things that happen week to week. It's like the Botox of what's happening. It's what? The filler. It's great. And it works and it looks good and we love it. And here's the other thing.
It feels natural. That's right.
It's trending. Search for the merch. McGuireShow.com. It's a beautiful website. Now, we got to pay homage to a couple people. Jamie, welcome.
Hey.
Thank you for listening. Mitch, yesterday we were at the show. He goes, hey, I'll just give you some merch. He goes, nah. He goes, I want to support the show. So anyways, it's a great way to support the show of what we're doing here. We really appreciate it. But most importantly,
right,
we want to welcome to the studio, to the other side of the railing, as Mitch says.
That's right.
Mike McGuire has joined us today. Mike, welcome.
Hey.
Fellas, thank you very much. Thank you for being the controlled botulism of the McGuire on Wrestling Network, as you've so described yourself.
That's what we are. Absolutely. We look good, but we're not really good for you. Absolutely. That's 100%.
Yeah, it's not a long-term plan, but for right now, no. How you doing?
You know what? This is the most vocal range you're getting from me today, because I can't go higher, I can't go lower. After the Dungeon Wrestling show last night, ring announcing commentary, and what a show it was. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about it here coming up, but I mean, I've called a lot of shows, I've called a lot of matches, and very rarely have I ever blown a voice to this level, but here we are. So I'm feeling good. I sound like I'm half dead, maybe because I am. I don't know. Might have gone to Hitman's Bar afterwards, might have hung out, you know, as
yeah,
it goes.
Might have.
But, no, it's great, man. So thank you very much.
I was a good boy this show.
Yeah, you were.
It was so weird being there without you guys.
Oh, well, you know what? It's because thank God your wife came and your kid came, because you'd still be there. Thank God.
It's true.
Your wife actually told me at one time, she goes, can you help me get him out here? I'm like, no problem. I go, in the background, I'm like, yeah, you're here. He's going to go. He's got no way around it.
Yeah, I can't. Exactly. I can't do
and
it.
And I don't want to say anything, but when your wife's wearing my merch, I just got to say.
I couldn't believe it.
Did she show up in the chair shot?
She's got chair shot merch.
I'm just saying, that's how popular I've become, even to the others amongst our group.
Mike, even yesterday, guys, like the Jay, he's like, I got things in my cart. He's like, I got the McGuire shoe. He goes, I don't know if I want to maybe get the chair shot. We had other people coming. They're all talking about the chair shot shirt, and it's
trending.
You know what I realized about myself?
What's that?
I don't like this.
I know you don't.
No,
I know.
I do.
Your wife wearing another man's shirt design?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going on. And then I look, I got Mitch. Huh. He's like, last caller, Mitch, 12:30 a.m.
If it makes you feel any better, Dimitri, I designed that shirt.
That's right.
What?
So technically, happening. Mike and I are. That's just saying.
I've been chair-shotted in the heart.
Chair-shot. All right. Can we just say, listen. I'm going to start this pod one way or another, okay?
Okay.
Monday Night Raw. I'm minding my own business. I'm watching.
It's a Monday. What are you supposed to do?
I'm perusing. I'm looking. I say to myself.
Just having a mic wiser over here. Am I going to
watch Raw today? Yeah, you know what? I am. Why? It's Monday. You know, but it's 2 weeks away. So I didn't have high expectations going, these guys are going to get ready. They got to start stretching. They got to get the storylines perfect for WrestleMania, only a couple of weeks away. Let me tell you something.
Oh, man.
Monday Night Raw. Did you guys think you were on the pay-per-view early? Did you guys really want to just do a dry run of the real run? I don't know. What a show. But I got to say something. And I'm so glad Mike's here because I need to hear this. So.
He's looking for it. I was right. I know this face.
Listen. From day one of the ACT, maybe I haven't been Cody's biggest supporter. Right? The daydreamer. Crybaby. Call him what you want. Daydreamer's cooler. He gets on the show. He's getting all the fans riled up. Guys, we're together. We're best friends. Let's all point to the thing together, the WrestleMania banner. And then. Maybe the greatest intro right now in all of sports entertainment.
It's unbelievable.
He comes out, The Rock, says nothing, comes in, little chirp says something, didn't say it on the microphone, and leaves. But what I loved the most was this. As wrestling fans, are we not the worst fans of all time? 1 minute, we love the Cody. Oh, Cody, we love you, Cody. Oh, my God. Ah. Point to the flag. Everyone, point. Then The Rock comes out, and I was like, screw you, Cody! Oh, no. The Rock! Oh, my God!
He's here! It's so true.
Oh, dude, it was awesome.
The best part about this, though, Mitch, is after getting to know you guys long enough, you talk so much crap about Cody on the show. If he walked in this room right now, you'd be like, oh, hi, Mr. Rhodes.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
There's no way around.
We just did it for the show.
100%.
Not both. I love the Cody Rhodes. I've been a Cody Rhodes supporter since day one. I love what he's doing.
Love what you want.
But you're right. The fans. But this just goes to show. Yeah. And again, this is The Rock. Let's take the name The Rock out of it. This is what presence is about when you've crafted a character and you're delivering entertainment on a high level. A, you're right. They go and they cheer for him. So you know the crowd's going to be somewhat divided. But at the end of the day, when you get in the ring and the two people don't have to say anything and it creates itself, this is a job well done all across the board. Like they just looked at each other for a good minute, which is an eternity. On TV to not say a word and everyone just gets it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I think this is a case of the same guys being in both main events of WrestleMania. And by that, I mean Cody and Roman. And so what The Rock is doing everything he can to elevate that tag match on night one. I think that there are people and they're justified in their thinking in some ways of saying, hey, you know, The Rock is outperforming Roman and he's, you know, is it really Cody against The Rock now? Like, what's the deal? Guys, that's what it is. It's selling both main events. It's making both matches feel important. If Cody somehow survives night one and gets the clean match on night two against Roman, that's going to be the story, right? If Cody doesn't survive and he's got to face the whole bloodline thing, that makes it even more interesting. So right now, I think what they've done with The Rock is, like you guys have said, a whole different level, a whole different echelon. And this is honestly making two main events with the same guys more interesting.
100%.
Yeah, you're right. And whatever direction they take is golden, Mike, to your point. That's very well said. And this is what I love. It almost feels like Marvel, like the Infinity War, right? Where like everyone is coming together to fight the powers. I think the more I digest it is, the concept and the story of the bloodline has really been the overarching success because we've been believing and following this for about a good two years of this whole story. And I think that's the biggest thing too. Like The Rock has come in, he's the cherry on top. It's The Rock, what he brings to the table. But the bloodline delivery and what they've done with having Roman be the champion for over 3 years, with the characters, where they've been slotted in, this whole thing is amazing. And they probably, the power of hindsight, when you say Cody losing last year at WrestleMania was also the next step and the other great thing that they did in this storyline, making us wait another year like they did Cena and The Rock back to back. Well, they teased us Cena and The Rock for a year. Then they get there. Then they give it to us again. And what we didn't realize is they took us through a three-season, beautifully done show.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, you take it.
I was just going to say one thing. Is right now, so The Rock comes in, right? Doesn't say anything. The fans go bonkers. Everybody's anticipating. We're a week away, which is just, by the way, happy pre-birthday to both of you as we head into WrestleMania.
Thank you.
My thing is The Rock almost getting too big? I know it sounds a little weird that I'm saying that, but You got Roman Reigns, who's 1,200 days as the champion. Is he going to lose the belt? Is he not? You know, there's a little something with him and The Rock brewing, maybe, but maybe not. Who knows? Like, that. This is what I'm loving. But right now, when a guy can walk into a room, thousands of people there, he doesn't have to say anything, and he's winning it all over. When he walks away for a minute, because he's going to walk away at some time for a while and then come back again, I'm assuming. Like, the guy's, you know, a big movie star. Mm-hmm. Is he getting too big where he's leaving us up here, and when he leaves, we're going to drop this? Is this a big drop?
I thought that, even going into last week's episode of the Maguire on Wrestling Show, I put that out to the audience out there. Thanks to everybody that commented on Facebook and DM'd and everything. But I think what it comes down to is, we're seeing two different styles of performance. And The Rock is the upper echelon. You know, next to Austin, perhaps, nobody can top what Rock does. And I don't even think Austin can these days. Like, to perform at this level,
yeah,
what Rock is doing. And the production, like you guys have both touched on a bit here, the transition in the entrance, the fact that they've actually added this whole final boss thing into that cool lightning intro where you hear the music transposed and it goes up a key to the old Hollywood Rock theme. You know, the dun, 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 dun. It's like he's arrived and now he's like souping up. You know, in the final boss in the video game, for example, usually like a Resident Evil game, you know, it's like some twerpy little guy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it like mutates and morphs into this way bigger final boss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's Super Saiyan.
He's doing that every entrance.
That's right.
Yeah, he comes out with this crazy thing, and then all of a sudden it's da da da. So you can't go any higher than that. And I think it would look foolish if Roman Reigns tried to go that high, because Roman is his own presence on a different level, and no pun intended there. But Roman comes in, and he's very dismissive. He's better than all of this. Right. He doesn't care. Rock is coming in saying, I'm not better than all this. I'm not even this. You can't touch what I am. And to put that sort of an opposition in front of Cody, I think makes it even more interesting and gives it, like I said, that more compelling factor going into the dual main events.
Yeah. You know, I am so excited. I'm not lying to you. Because I always worried. They were like, what? When they were in Vegas 7 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, and the whole slapping incident, it all started. I'm like, is this, you know, is the storyline going to get boring? Is it going to get lame? It hasn't. And I love, even yesterday on SmackDown, they kind of stayed away from it. They're like, put it to the side for me.
Yeah, I like that
Monday
too.
Was so good.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing was so great. Not just that, but everything. We'll get into that in a second. Was so good. They're like, leave it for a minute. Let it percolate. And then next week we'll invigorate it. And then we're right into WrestleMania, right? Speaking of Monday Night Raw, there's three of us here in the room. You know, we all like the microphone. We all like to talk a little bit here and there. But when you got the CM Punk, the Seth Rollins, and you got the Drew McIntyre all going at it at the same time,
holy,
I didn't know what
God
to do. Were you guys just as confused as me? I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know which way to look.
This reminded me, like, the first time, like, this is exactly what would happen if the three of us never knew each other and we never did radio or podcasting.
Yeah, that's right.
But we knew that we kind of didn't like each other. And then they stuck us in this studio and said, go.
Oh, so like how I feel right now.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, what's the difference?
I'm like, who's going to take it? Here it is, guys. Here it is.
We've already sold you guys as a lifelong friend. So really, I'm the guy that just tolerates all this.
Like, who's doing the joke?
Yeah,
I didn't know. Listen, I like it, right? Uh-huh. I'm going to defer to our good old buddy, good old daddy, because I know you love your CM Punk.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
I was watching the feedback. I was actually on the Raw discussion on Monday night on the Team MOW Facebook page. And it's funny because I saw some people saying, like, you know, oh, this is the best. And then, you know, a couple people saying, oh, Punk doesn't, you know, Punk's just running over everybody. He's trying to railroad. And I'm not saying that to sound like you're being negative. That's your opinion. You're welcome to it. I thought, honestly, that was one of the most entertaining promo segments I've seen on Monday Night Raw. I did think that Rollins coming out at the first kind of muddied the water a bit. I really liked the exchange between Drew and Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me is like really, really raw, visceral. I can buy into the fact that these guys respect each other enough to work together, but still don't like each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if they do like each other, like, it doesn't matter. It's the shots they were getting in, and the whole time where Drew is being prompted and goaded by Punk to say, Vince's name, you know, what? Who is the paragon of good virtue that called you the chosen one?
Oh, that was unreal.
What a linguist.
And that is just for us fans that know way too much, right? So that's a little nod to us and a ha-ha. There was a little nod to Jim Cornette fans as well when he was talking to Pat McAfee and says, I'm not familiar with the show. I listen to The Drive-In and The Experience, and that's the name of Cornette's two podcasts, which, again, got a huge pop from those fans online. It's these little nuggets, these little breadcrumbs that bring everybody in, yeah. And that's what both these guys are good at. I thought Drew is getting better at that now. Drew is starting to feel more and more natural, more and more real. Mm-hmm. When he gets up on the table and sits cross-legged and says, don't shoot up my kilt, you perv. It's like, all right, that was a little much, but whatever. It's still him trying to be something different. And I mean, to me, it was highly compelling. I actually thought the kick from Rollins at the end on McIntyre was also perfect. I like that Punk leaves relatively unscathed because he can't be getting beat up right now. Otherwise, what have you done? You beat up a one-armed guy, you know, like exactly. You beat up a guy that can't really fight back. Okay, good on you. But we still got a little bit of physicality going in the match. I'm not crazy about Punk on commentary for WrestleMania. I still wish if he was going to be there, then he's got to be in the ring in a official capacity somehow, like as a referee or something. Or, like I've said before, he doesn't need to be there at all.
Right.
But, I mean, good on him getting the payday, but it's just, I don't mind keeping him separate until he's fully ready to go again.
See, the whole exchange with them three, it was a battle of who's going to have the last word, right? That's all I kept thinking to myself every time they were talking. But then what I do like is this, where I've said it a few times now, where The Rock and the Cody and the Roman Reigns, or pardon me, the Roman, what's going to happen? If Cody wins, what's next, right? Like, that's what I keep saying to you guys. I like this little fight here going on, because whichever which way it happens, you've got a nice triangle here. It works mm-hmm. every which way, right? Yeah. So to see him, he can still, you know, be at WrestleMania, get better, then he can come back, and then he'll be involved in the mix. Or Seth and, you know, it doesn't matter which way the championship goes that night. That's what I like about this threesome right now. And who doesn't love a threesome, really? I mean, well, this threesome's working quite well.
Right, it's now. Doing good, it's right? Doing when good. You go back and you
I
say,
gotta go.
Wait, we're not done yet.
Lock the door.
Oh, it's locked over.
Thank you. You know what? I will say this.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, love him or hate him, whatever you want to say, Rollins and McIntyre are benefiting off the fact of a CM Punk, that this is what he brings to the table.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't care. Like, yes, I love the fact that they turned McIntyre heel. I think he's more of a natural heel. He comes across better that way. Rollins is definitely Punk-esque. I think he's like the new, incarnate Punk of the future, a perfect shade of gray that can mix it up whenever he wants. But they are more successful now because CM Punk has come back, and because of they can hate him all they want. But I've never seen McIntyre like that on the mic, sharp, quick, ready to go. And when he said the Vince McMahon joke, right, and the virtue and paragon and all that stuff, you saw the look in his face and smile and said, you.
Yeah, you got me.
You're good, you.
You got me.
You got me.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. And so they need to just roll it out and say, you're welcome. Because on its own, we'd love the match. With CM Punk a part of it, we're still salivating at the fact, oh, he's coming to the ring. What's he going to say?
Right.
What is the line? Iron sharpens iron or whatever
that's
it is.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
And that's what it is. I mean, you can't deny and take my fandom of the guy out of it for a second here, but you can't deny that CM Punk elevates everyone he's around, whether he's helping them or not. And this goes to the point of the person on the message board who's saying flat out that, you know, he didn't feel that Punk was helping out in any way. I highly disagree, respectfully.
No, same with me.
Because, again, I think that by Punk taking that to the next level, it makes Drew have to come up. It mm-hmm. makes Seth have to come up. This is the same as Rock, Roman, and Cody. Rock is making these guys have to come up. Look at what Cody has done now to stay on the level of The Rock, meanwhile still keeping interest in the title match the next night. Cody is doing great things being tested.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's fully there yet. Do I think he's there enough? Maybe. I think he could finish the story, get the title. But going back to the other three guys here, to think that this CM Punk, this cancer, this horrible person we heard about for over a year in the other place, comes back now and we're, you know, I mean, again, I don't subscribe to dirt sheet stuff unless I'll let Dave Meltzer worry about that stuff and he'll give his pieces on it. And there's times I don't even believe what Dave says. And I've told him that, you know, but it's one of those things where we can't sit here as fans and not believe that these guys aren't working together at this level. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on TV.
Yeah,
it would not be happening.
Yeah, Triple H, excuse me, would never, especially having him in even a bigger role in the driver's seat, would never even allow it to happen. They're just not putting up with any of that stuff.
Well, yeah.
And, if it was the case.
And this is, because this is multi-billions of dollars. You know,
totally.
This isn't, with no disrespect, man, this isn't the indie down the road that's got two guys that are kind of miffed at each other, but, oh, we're going to go and work a good match, brother, because we're going to get our $100 and, this is so much more on the line.
Yeah.
And even if you don't like each other, you can still, hockey players, you guys do the sports show every week. You know about athletes. I mean, who's the guys on the Bulls? Like, it was always, Jordan and Pippen, and they didn't necessarily like each other.
No, that's true.
But they were magic out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy. So, I mean, a pro is a pro is a pro.
They should take notes. We said it before. All the up-and-comers in the rosters need to take notes. Like, McIntyre was making fun of, he was trying to call out CM Punk. It's a PG show. It's a PG show. Well, you know what? I can certainly I would put money down that when Punk was on TV on Raw and when Rock was on TV at Raw and he said you don't F with the Rock or whatever Punk was like, those were probably the most watched and rewatched segments. So you know what? You can criticize all you want. Take some notes, you guys. There's a reason why you can be in your golden age and in the Rock's case, let's call it even retired to a degree, come back and draw the money.
Well, and we haven't even gotten to the draw part of that show because, Rock came out and did his whisper.
Exactly.
And you would have thought that was it. And then what happens at the end of the show?
You got it right here.
What happened?
It's exactly it. To Mike's point, that's what I thought was hilarious. So at the end of the match, Jey Uso's in the main event. He's fighting. And wouldn't you know it, Brother Jimmy and Solo show up, start a fight.
Yeah,
but then he got some backup, right? And everyone's running in. Cody comes in. He's running down Jimmy down the hallway. And then The Rock grabs him and just throws him around like a rag doll. Where was Jimmy? You know, my thing is, they all came out to help Jimmy. Jimmy took care of business. Why didn't you come and help Cody?
Where's Jay, you mean?
Well, pardon me. Yeah, thank you. Where's Jay? Where did Jay go?
Hey,
what happened?
Hey,
what's wrong, Jay? Where did you go, Jay?
He had an arm waving.
He was arm waving everyone up and down. Exactly. He's like, everyone stop. No one go over there. He's pissed. He's pissed. But I was on the Nets and I was fooling around a little bit. And a lot of people, the trailers, first off, God is a huge wrestling fan. Rain in the back with all the fighting. You can't ask for a better, you know what I mean?
He's watching.
Look, he goes, you know what this needs? Some rain.
Yeah, look,
and he puts the rain.
It's Easter. It was about this time I came anyways. Hit the button.
I'm coming in.
You need it.
Now, on the internet, everyone's going, hey, did you see the trailers in the back? They're Stone Cold and Charlotte and John Cena. Yeah. They're called WWE trailers, you conspiracy theorists. Like, I get it. I love a conspiracy.
Yeah.
But guys, relax. Let's assume Stone Cold shows up to WrestleMania. Okay. Now what? What exactly are you trying to tell me? I saw this on the Nets and I was going crazy. I'm like, what's wrong with everyone? Like, I want a good story. I love me some meat on a bone.
And you know
this
us.
This is going a little
we
far.
We will not hesitate to make up anything for the sake of ratings.
I have a question.
Sure.
What if they didn't think ahead to that shot and that angle, and they just happen to use one of the other 15 TV trucks they have that still have like Lucha House Party on the side.
Exactly.
Would people be that excited and say, oh my gosh, Lucha House Party is going to be at WrestleMania?
That's exactly what they would think.
And you know what? It was Adam Cole behind the mask.
Oh gosh. Oh boy.
Because you know me, I love my luchadors.
Okay. Now, I'm jumping. Yeah, exactly. You know what? Now that he's here, I see you're behaving yourself. Yeah. I noticed that. I see what's going on here. So we go over to AEW real quick, right? Hey, can I just say something?
Go ahead.
Takeshita? Did I say it?
Takeshita. Not bad.
Takeshita versus Swerve. I know Meltzer does the five-star, the five-star matches.
Oh, right? You're not giving it a star rating, are you?
I'm giving it a six-star.
Whoa!
I did a six star.
Six star.
The views
six
of Mitch Hanzius are those of his alone, and not necessarily
no, in all honesty,
this podcast network.
Joking, because somebody said it in the one of the commentators brought up. He's like, "This is a 5-star match." Blah blah blah. And I started laughing to myself. I'm like, "You don't know. You're no Meltzer. You can't.
You're
come right, on,
you can't
use that.
You're not
you
allowed. You can't
use
this."
I don't even want to touch the star. We get into this thing with him every few weeks because somebody loses their poop about it. And you know what? If in your opinion it was a 6-star match, that's your opinion, man, and that's awesome.
No,
exactly.
Five-star, six-star. It was a great match for AEW. Yeah. I think the Swerve, man, has taken, and even Takeshita, has done a great job. Like, you know what? That went so back and forth, I was actually convinced he might win it.
Where I was like,
oh, it's got to be Swerve. But then there was this point where I'm like, wait a minute. If he wins, it's not that bad. It works.
So let me juxtaposition this against the match that started the show, Mitch. And I want to get your thoughts on Will Ospreay and Shibata.
Yeah.
Because I had my thoughts about that match. But what did you think of that match, especially compared to what you saw with Takeshita at the end?
I liked that match better. I liked the Swerve and Takeshita better than the Will Ospreay and Shibata. I thought it was great. Great way to start the program. Great way to get Will going wherever. Like that guy right now, there's Rock. And there's Will Ospreay. The gap is pretty big right now with regards to who loves who, I think. But Will is right there, man.
I think from a stature point in the company, I mean, I don't know if Will Ospreay would be at Rock level even in AEW. But I think that right now he's definitely the most sought after, most anticipated guy. I think he's the guy they're going to hitch the wagon to.
Yeah.
Especially with All In coming up in the fall and you know, him being from England. But to me, and this is old school Mike wrestling brain going on here. What I liked about the Takeshita match was Swerve a lot more than I liked the Ospreay. And I love Will Ospreay. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he's got some great skills. Shibata's great. I mean, but it's just a little too much of that taking turns in a match versus I'm believing I'm seeing a struggle. And the Takeshita Swerve match, I believed I was seeing a struggle. Just like the show we had last night. You know, you have matches where, you know, a lot of our guys, because it's that Calgary style that Brett really infuses into the matches, but you know, you don't see a lot of this setup spot. And everybody remembers that Will Ospreay Ricochet match from a few years back that everybody was talking about. I mean, that thing couldn't be more planned and rehearsed if you tried. But that was a different thing because you realize, okay, this is what I'm watching. This is what I'm in for. Without having that as a setup going into the Ospreay Shibata match, it just felt a little too my turn, your turn. But the Takeshita Swerve one, and I give a lot of credit to Swerve on this, too. Swerve is very good at getting in there and staying, you know, making every lockup a struggle, making every move seem like it's an actual wrestling move, a transition. It's not just, okay, it's my turn to do something now. So, I mean, I think both matches were great for different reasons, but I can get behind that Takeshita Swerve match 100 times more.
It was the match of the show for sure. Yeah. And I agree with both of you. The reality is one was a story that you bought into and you followed from start to finish, and the other one was just a compilation of moves. I don't mind AEW starting off with some big matches from time to time. I don't like when they put the championship matches. I don't like when Moxley's there. We joked around about it. But if you're going to start the show.
Yeah.
Right? Start the show. There was a little more oomph. There's a little more feeling. You're like, Swerve, he's trying to be the number one contender. He can't lose this match.
Yeah.
Right? And Takeshita is the chosen one. He's the up and coming. He's their chosen one. He's Don Callis's. He's the alpha, like, but what if he loses? There's a lot at stake. Whereas Ospreay's like, you're right. Let's do a 450 somewhere. Land, get the pop. You come in. Don't do the moves. Build the story. You to All In. Yeah.
Which again, notice if you're listening and you're an Ospreay fan, so am I.
He's white hot. He's our favorite.
Yeah.
It's a different style, and that's all I'm saying is that. You know, wrestling can be that. It's, you know, I think was it you guys I was talking about this last night. Where it's like you can have, you know, you can have the same type of sandwich from five different places. And that's a wrestling match. You know what I mean? Like I can order a grilled cheese sandwich from five different places. They're all grilled cheese sandwiches, but they're slightly done different.
That's a good point.
Yeah. There's different ingredients. There's different, toppings, whatever you want to put in there. But that's what wrestling matches are. And a good wrestling show will have variety. I'm not one of these guys that says every match has to be the same. I'm just saying that I feel the fans get more into it and remember more if it's a believable struggle rather than move by move by move.
Absolutely.
You can't, in wrestling, you can't just watch, you have to feel. The whole point of it is the feel.
That's why I love that Swerve match. I thought it was a great, great match.
Yeah.
Well, like, I was joking around about the six, but like I said, the commentators brought it up. They're like, this is a 5-star. I'm like, it's up there. I don't know how these ratings are done, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go 6.
Yeah, just because
I don't want them having something over me. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why I was getting mad.
It should be on your Mount Mitchmore.
That's
what you.
Are you looking at my notes?
I don't need to.
You know what Mitch is doing right now. He's saying, hey, look at how generous the tipper I am.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly what
you're 25% tipper.
I hit the
25%. That's what you did.
You aren't? You know what?
Not when I buy coffee.
The tag team championship, let's say round robin that's going on in AEW right now.
Yeah, tournament that's going on.
You know, I'm liking that the Young Bucks are moving on. I like this, right?
That's right.
But this private party, guys, okay? Do they really need the bouncer and the valet? Like, what if they don't bring their ID? I was thinking about, like, he got them in.
Yeah, hold on
but
a second.
What happens if they don't have ID at that moment?
Listen.
I mean, they are in their tights.
It's not just that, Mitch. If it's a private party, what's the party? I haven't even seen the party. How can it be private party if I don't see you partying? I want to see you partying.
Right.
Then the valet guy come and go. That's how I feel.
The party is them entering the room.
That's
what it is. See, because he opens the rope for them, and then the party is here.
There's the party.
That's why they are private party. See?
Oh, that's what it is.
Okay. That makes more
sense. Sorry to go a little transcendental on y'all.
Okay, then I'm going to talk about Undisputed Kingdom.
Because the party's in the room, Mitch.
Then I want to talk about Undisputed Kingdom. You're supposed to be this big thing. You lose in the tag team tournament. You know what they got to do? They got to go. I'm not joking when I say this. They got to do a little bit of bringing in the Rhea Ripley idea. Go get Britt Baker and bring her in.
Thank you.
That's all I'm saying.
Do we
got to
write it?
I'm telling you right now.
But they need the Cole bad. If there was ever a faction that needed one guy to come back, they need him bad.
Absolutely.
Well, the sad thing is, and Britt confirmed it last week, because I've been asking around too, saying, you know, where is Britt and what's going on? So she came out last week and said that she has been dealing with a back injury that she's been rehabbing for a while here. So, I mean, I think that's a great idea. But again, it's going to be one of those things I don't think we're going to see happen anytime soon here. I did find it kind of interesting, though, that she's out with what sounds like a similar problem to what Thunder Rosa had. And Britt was kind of all over her when Rosa was dealing with her back injury. So, I mean, there's so many seeds that can come out of Britt Baker returning when it does happen. Yeah, I mean, she's going to be wildly popular or wildly despised.
Good point.
It'll be interesting.
Good point.
So.
Listen. It was a long night last night. We had a great time.
You both went home after the show.
It's true. Talking about? But what a show it was, let me tell you. A
couple of quitters over here.
You know, we wanted to be tip-top for today, Mike. But it's also time for the alternate scenario.
What?
Whose promo name suits them better? Mammy, Rhea Ripley, the man, Becky Lynch, or Daddy, Mike McGuire?
Tag me in.
Hold on.
It's clearly... Daddy.
It's clearly
D-A-D-I.
Daddy.
You know it. Daddy.
Feel it. That's what it's all
Let
about.
Let me tag you in.
Okay. Listen, as much as I love the man, she's broken me over the last few weeks. She's got to get me back on it. The mammy thing is great. I got to admit. But no, it's Daddy all day, every day. It is. And
tag
it's
Mike
not because he's sitting right next
Mike,
to me.
What does he think?
No, I'm going to abstain. No, I'm reversing the tag.
The ref didn't see it. All right.
Here's one for you. Dusty Rhodes' elbow or The Rock's people elbow?
Ooh.
People's elbow.
People,
you say people elbow, it's like it's made out of people.
It's a people elbow. Hold on, that's just a Greek accent.
That's an accent coming out, Mike. That's all it is.
I like
I apologize for my culturally insensitive remark.
Yeah, and you say I got a problem with the ethnic.
Oh, you do. That describes it right there perfectly. Ladies and gentlemen, the right ethnics.
There it is. Lord. I knew it. The whole time.
I'm allowed. I'm Greek. I can make fun of Greek accents. It's the people's elbow, but The Rock would be better suited if he did a little Dusty Rhodes when he got there.
He does that arm swagger thing, but I think Dusty's is better.
You know the clip? You know the clip that I love who did the best people's elbow or tried to, in my opinion, was Ric Flair. I think it was WrestleMania 20.
WrestleMania 20, yeah.
When he like did his little, that whole exchange. What do you do?
All right, you know what? Tag me in on this one. All right. I have to give it to Dusty Rhodes, the bionic elbow, because Not only do you have the flippy floppy, but you've got the rolling of the fists, and then you got the big crotch thrust, and then the bionic elbow hits. So,
all right, one last one. It's the Mount Mitchmore. It's the who's the most overrated. Here are my top four, and I'll let you guys discuss. Ricky Steamboat, Goldberg, the Shockmaster, Sid Vicious.
Okay, well, what's this the top four again?
It's the most overrated wrestlers of all time. I'm tagging you in, Mike.
Why me first?
I feel like Daddy goes first.
Yeah, okay. We've said our piece.
So Ricky Steamboat's last, just so...
There's no ranking, just four people. That's it, doesn't matter.
Oh, just any four?
Any four, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you gave your four most overrated wrestlers. You know, I hate to say this, but as we were at Hitman's last night, well, you guys weren't, but they were showing WrestleMania 13. Mm-hmm. And the main event from that one, if you remember, was The Undertaker winning the WWF Championship from Psycho Sid.
Yeah, see? There you go. I had him on the list.
Yeah, I don't like being this guy because, again, he's made a lot more money in wrestling than I ever will. And so nothing but respect. But I think that Sid was, when used sparingly, very, very good. But I think, yeah, when he was on, like, all the time, it became a little much. This is a tough question.
I know. That's what I do. I ask the hard.
I can tell you, Shawn Michaels. I'm just joking.
You know who I feel
the Shockmaster Mitch is that
who what, feel, he was a legit wrestler.
Who I feel maybe didn't get the opportunity that they thought he would. This is an old WWF name too. Brockus. Do you guys remember Brockus?
Oh, yeah.
The big German guy.
Yeah, yes.
You know, he's like built and stacked, and that didn't pan out. Nathan Jones is another guy who had everything going for him, but it just didn't pan out.
Not familiar with the Nathan Jones.
Nathan Jones, the big, tall Aussie guy, and the gimmick was he'd come out of an Australian prison.
Oh, you can't. You know what? I think I know who you're talking
about. And actually talking about We've Seen a Movie, the new podcast that Joe Agnaldo and I are doing, he actually has an appearance in that Ricky Stenicki movie.
Oh,
does Big Nathan Jones.
Oh, there you go.
His casting role is literally huge guy. That's what they list him as in the cast, in the credits. So I'll give those two guys. And then, you know, I don't even know if I can say that Shockmaster was overrated. I think the gimmick was overrated.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Fred Ottman, Tugboat, Typhoon, whatever you call him, he was a great guy.
He's a good wrestler.
People liked him, you know.
Can I throw one?
Sure.
I thought it was overrated and they gave him was Steve Mongo McMichael.
Ooh.
I did. I thought they just put him there for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, WCW did a lot of that sports celebrity planting of wrestlers. And,
yeah.
And Mongo did get a permanent spot on the roster, but...
Dave Arquette? I forgot to put him on the list.
That's a former world champion you're talking about.
Yeah, so
I know.
You better watch yourself.
But overrated, maybe. Maybe slightly overrated.
I think underrated.
You know, if we're going to do that, then I'm going to say Vince Russo. Because Vince Russo put the title on himself, too. So, you know what?
That's a good one.
Good point.
So I will credit that.
I had some other ones. Because I Googled it, too. Like, I perused it. That's what you guys know. Double J Jeff Jarrett has made a lot of people's list.
Really? I think he's solid, man.
I think so. I think he's a Big Show was on the list. And Kane. Some people, those were the Invader was another name that.
Okay, you know what?
Vader's for fans that are too young to know how good Vader was in his prime. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you had to follow. He was one of the first where you had to know him outside of everything,
especially the WWF.
Yeah,
because his WWF run was terrible. It was there's no argument about it. But I mean, Vader in WCW and in Japan. Like, unstoppable.
Yeah.
Unstoppable. So, I would throw a flag on that.
Well, especially in Japan. Like, in Japan, he was a god at one point.
Yeah.
Right? Was it Big Van Vader?
Yep.
Right? That's where he started in Japan? Yeah.
Exactly. No, these were just the list. I saw it, and I said, the Steamboat thing was funny to me because me and you did the Bret Hart ranking.
That's right.
And I feel like we're justified now for what we said a couple of weeks ago. So now, you know, you got me on this. Whoever you were, I can't remember who you were, you got me going now.
You know
and
know,
I got to push myself.
Steamboat's a trigger word for Mitch now.
It is. It sure
for
is.
Anybody wondering, I highly disagree with Steamboat being overrated in every aspect, Mitch. I'm sorry. I can't get on board with this.
The numbers don't lie, Mike. You can get mad at me all you want, Daddy, but the numbers don't lie. Right. One last thing I want to...
3,000 matches against Ric Flair that tore the house down. Yeah, numbers don't lie.
I'm just saying. I'm gonna say one last thing. I wanted to bring it up earlier, and I kind of forgot, but last night, Mike made the announcement of announcement for Dungeon Wrestling. Matt Cardona, yeah, that Matt Cardona will be at the next pay-per-view, or next, sorry, Dungeon Wrestling. Is it June 21st?
Yep.
June 21st, he's going to be in the house taking on for the World Championship, the Stu Hart Championship belt against Chris Adonis. It's going to be maybe the greatest night of my life. I'm so pumped about this. This is so exciting. But I have a quick thing. I just happened to be flipping around the channels, and I saw Matt Cardona on TNA. He had run in, did a flying leg drop on this lady.
Right.
His buddy ends up winning the match. Great, all that. But here's the thing. I know he's married to Chelsea Green. Is that a form of cheating? Did he do the unthink? Like, why isn't he coming to WWF helping Chelsea? Because she can need the help in WWE as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's,
you know,
right.
What I'm,
but hold on. Here's the thing. Is, I got to defend. That's a professional relationship.
Right.
Right. So
you're
appears.
Saying, like, at work, you have the professional wife. You have the work wife, as they say.
That's his work wife.
That's his work wife.
That's right.
But you think it's okay? Because I feel like he might have overstepped his boundaries.
Well, listen, the only person that's overstepping is, why isn't someone who should be helping her out not helping her out? It's not her fault that the Cardona's there doing it.
I'm just saying.
So someone else can step up.
Well, all I can say to this is that, Steph Lander is an amazing talent. And there were people, actually, it's funny, when Chelsea got re-signed to WWE and Steph started showing up with Cardona, people were thinking that Cardona and Chelsea had actually split, like, for real.
Oh, really?
So they made it real clear off the hop here. But yeah, I think that Matt gets away with a lot of things that his very patient wife allows him to get away with.
Sure.
Like, for example, showing up wearing a WWE Women's Tag Team Championship belt.
Yeah, I saw that.
Saying that he's one half of the Women's Tag Team Champions.
Come on.
That's good stuff.
Now, the real question, is he coming to Dungeon Wrestling to add to his repertoire and his collection?
Well, he's coming for the title. He's calling out Chris Adonis, Chris Masters, and I'll tell you right now, I mean, Cardona is, if anything, a guy who is able to deliver on what he says he wants. Does he do it by the most honorable of means all the time? Not always, but it's not about how you win, it's if you win. So,
because like my good friend Mitch says, if you ain't cheating,
you ain't trying.
And that's right. And if you ain't listening, you ain't trying. Because what you got to do is you got to subscribe and you got to listen to the McGuire on Wrestling podcast feed anywhere where you're getting your podcasts. We thank you so much for all the support. Every time you guys chime in, all the feedback. Again, Jamie, yesterday, thank you so much for the show. We want to thank Sarah and company for coming and giving treats to the Dungeon Wrestling show.
Yes.
And taking care of Daddy with some sugar-free treats as well.
That was awesome.
That is nice.
Oh, man.
Those dark chocolate peanut butter cups, those are my new favorite thing now.
I might make a mousse out of them.
That's the other show.
Side joke.
Inside joke.
It is what it is. But thank you very much. Again, if you want to do a search for the merch, help support the show, McGuireShow.com. But until then, play safe. Drive safe. I'll be seeing ya. What are you?
How dare you?
You're fired.